We have looked at the nature of the limited bilateral defence cooperation program we have had, and that has been suspended.
Australia acts against Myanmar military. It's Wednesday, March 10th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, staying at home for a year. Afghan women endure. The message in magic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Australia has acted against Myanmar's military in response to the country's escalating violence following the toppling of the elected government. We have this report from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
Australia says it's gravely concerned about the repression of protests in Myanmar. Since the democratically elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi was ousted by the military in early February. It's urged Myanmar security forces to exercise restraint and refrain from violence against civilians. Mass demonstrations have been held across the Southeast Asian country. The United Nations has said more than 50 people have been killed so far. In response, Australia has cut defence programmes in Myanmar and has said humanitarian aid would be directed to the people. Foreign Affairs Minister Maurice Payne.
We have looked at the nature of the limited bilateral defence cooperation programme we have had, and that has been suspended. We have also looked at the development programme and development support that we have provided and redirected that with an absolute focus on the immediate needs of some of the most vulnerable and poor in Myanmar, which is one of the poorest countries in ASEAN.
Payne said the decision was made after extensive consultations with our international partners, particularly our ASEAN neighbours, Japan and India. Canberra is also concerned for the safety of Sean Turnell, an Australian academic who's been a key economic aid to Myanmar's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. The National League for Democracy Party won a landslide victory in an election last November with more than 80% of the votes. The military has detained Suu Kyi and Turnell for more than a month along with others. Myanmar, also known as Burma, became independent from Britain in 1948. It was controlled by a repressive military government from 1962 to 2011. A government effectively led by Suu Kyi came to power after elections in 2015. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Be sure to stop by our website at voanews.com or join us on Twitter and Facebook for more on this and all the stories you hear on VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Myanmar military government continues brutal crackdown on protesters. Myanmar protesters concerned by military in attempt to quash dissent. Female farmers protest India's agricultural laws. Members of Quad Nations, the United States, Japan, Australia, and India, to meet virtually later this week. In South Korea, universal basic income is having a pandemic moment. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also join us on Twitter and our website, voanews.com. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United States is marking 1 year since the first stay-at-home orders went into effect because of the coronavirus pandemic. But returning to normal is happening very slowly, as Michelle Quinn reports.
1 year ago, cities throughout the United States began to shut down because of the virus. Since then, more than a half million lives have been lost to the infection and nearly 29 million cases recorded, according to the Johns Hopkins University, which is tracking the global outbreak. The nation is now in a different place. President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion economic relief package is moving ahead, having passed the Senate with no Republican support. The bill now heads to the House of Representatives. A third vaccine, this one from Johnson & Johnson, is being rolled out behind ones by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. But there are concerns that some states, such as Texas and Mississippi, are moving too quickly, lifting mask mandates and fully opening up restaurants, saying it's up to people to take steps to keep safe, not the government. Some public health officials are sounding the alarm.
Given how close we are to the finish line, anybody who gets infected today and dies in 3 or 4 weeks is somebody who would have gotten vaccinated a month from now. This is why it's urgent to just keep going for a little bit longer.
Governors are setting goals for when it's okay to lift health orders requiring masks. Ohio will lift its mask mandate when the state records 50 cases per 100,000 people. It's currently at 179 cases, said Governor Mike DeWine.
With the vaccine, we're now on the offense. That's the great thing. But in Ohio, we can't give up the defense. We have found that these masks work exceedingly well.
One area of contention is schools, which are gradually reopening, with about 27% of students nationwide still in a virtual-only learning mode. There is a big push in many cities to vaccinate teachers and staff and get students back to the classroom. In Cleveland, Ohio, the teachers' union voted to stick with remote learning for now, despite the governor's goal of a March 1st return date. Governor DeWine says he remains optimistic.
If you go back at the beginning of this year, half of our kids in Ohio were totally remote. Today, 95% of them are in class. So we're excited about where we are.
Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, about 1,000 coup protesters marched on a Mandalay street for a few minutes before dispersing to avoid a confrontation with police. More than 50 protesters have died. More than 1,850 have been arrested during the government's crackdown on coup protests. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, about 52% of women in Afghanistan have experienced violence in their homes. That's according to the World Health Organization. VOA's Nishaba Ashana has the story of an Afghan woman who was disfigured by her husband but moved on to a better life and to advocate for women's rights. Bejan Hamdard narrates the story.
At just 15, Shakila Zarin was married off in her native Afghanistan. At 16, her husband shot her in the face, scarring her for life.
Sometimes I wish to wake up to see a miracle that my face has been fixed. But when I wake up, this miracle isn't there.
But she did not stop fighting for safety, freedom, and a better life. In 2013, Zarin was granted asylum in Canada, where she fulfilled a dream.
I was stopped from going to school. But after getting asylum in Canada, I got my dream of going back to school. On the first day of school, when I sat next to my classmates, I cried. However, that was tears of joy.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met Zarin and promised his full support.
Apart from many things, the Canadian government's biggest favor to me has been providing me treatment for my face. They have supported 15 surgeries so far.
Zarin says despite her husband's brutal actions, her voice didn't matter much in Afghanistan. Now she's fighting for thousands of unheard voices through public speaking.
Here in Canada, I'm a public speaker. I demand justice for those women facing violence, and I tell the painful story of my life and other Afghan women's lives who suffered like me to the whole world.
Zarin has the backing of groups who are also fighting against domestic violence.
We gave her some support in how to prepare for a presentation, and she's become very active in that area. She's very fearlessly telling her story, not only in Canada, but in countries around the world, talking about the issue of violence against women and the impact it had in her own life.
Zarin says communities must unite to combat this global problem.
Shakila cannot change the world all alone. All the women who face violence should come together. We should not cry and stay back in our homes because it does not solve our problems. Instead, we should be united against those who are involved in violence against women.
For Noshaba Ashna in Vancouver, Canada, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
This news from VOA Asia. A fire at India's Eastern Railway headquarters in Kolkata Monday night left 9 dead. Police and railway officials and firefighters are among the deceased. The cause of the fire is still being investigated. You'll find this and all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Magicians dazzle both the eye and mind of their audience. VOA's Marcia James spoke to one performer who tells us in his own words how his hobby turned into a career and the importance of using his platform to address greater social issues.
Is magic real or is magic an illusion? I'd like to show you what comes to mind, just as an example. And we're just gonna use these three half dollars right here. Focus on this first one. Three coins, two hands, no sleeves, no bracelets.
Randy Shine is a magician in Vienna, Virginia.
So you think of things happening that's impossible, but you're making the impossible possible. And you're also creating astonishment. So when you think about magic, you have to think about creativity and, most importantly, making the impossible possible.
Magician Randy Shine continues to tell his story.
So I got started in magic, not when I was young like most people. I got started in magic when I was in graduate school at Penn State studying health education research. It was just a hobby for me, something to do on a just to pass the time, card tricks. Me and a group of friends, we used to get together and do card tricks. I was performing in Iowa one time. It was at a college campus, but it was 2 hours outside, 2.5 hours outside of Des Moines, Iowa. I get there, I set up. I'm behind the curtain, I peek out, 500 people here. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, I know exactly what I'm going to say. As soon as the MC announced me, I walked on stage. The first words out of my mouth is, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to the show. When I got off the plane this morning, the black population increased by 100%. Now, it came off as a joke, but as they say, there's truth in comedy. And it resonated with everyone because they realized, wow, this is not a diverse town. I believe that every artist should use their platform to talk about greater issues beyond their art. So there's some elements in my show that are subtle and then some that are not subtle. There's a saying by a famous magician named Joseph Dunninger. He says, for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. For those who don't, no explanation will suffice. So, is magic real or is it an illusion? That's up to you to decide.
Magician Randy Shine in his own words. We thank VOA's Marcia James for bringing us this story. We're always glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks for listening today. Even though our program is coming to a conclusion, you can join us again at the same time tomorrow. And in the meantime, we're online. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under the name VOA Asia. We also like to thank those who help bring the program to you each and every day. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.